I want to take this opportunity to welcome everyone here and thank you for coming on behalf of Patty and the family. This is quite a testimony to Tom's influence and impact upon people. Immediately after the service today, Patty and the family will be in the back off to the in the library area where you can greet them at that time and then just walk right on through, and the ladies have a lunch prepared. You don't have to wait. Just say hi and bye to Patty, and right in there you can go and begin eating. I'd like to ask you to bow your heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, many of us have heavy hearts as we grieve the loss of our friend Tom. But yet at the same time, Lord, we know that you are sovereign. And we know that Tom is safe in the clutches of your arms. And we thank you for that assurance that we have from the scriptures. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come here today and celebrate Tom's life. I pray now that your peace might surround us, be with Patty and her sons and her daughter-in-law and the grandchildren and Tom's family. Just be with each one. Pull them close, I pray, and may your comfort and your peace be overwhelming. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read from the scriptures, from the book of Psalms, chapter 121. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Reading from God's Word. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you will bless the reading of your Word and bless each one who is here. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
To call home, but I still didn't find it, so I must travel on. I don't care for the fine mansions on earth's sinking sand. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Lord, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land. In the shade of his tree, a life that it may ever stand, where I can hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Listen, Lord, I'm not asking to live in the midst, for I know that I'm not worthy of such splendor as this. When I ask him for mercy, as humbly I stand, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Lord, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land. In the shade of his tree, a life that it may ever stand, where I can hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Mm-hmm. many dear loved ones who've gone on His way. On the grapevine of morning shall I hear them all say, come and join in the singing and play in a band. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Lord, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land. In the shade of His tree of life that it may ever stand. Where I can hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land.
I'd like to read another scripture, this time from the 103rd Psalm. And this is a psalm of David. And he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We're going to have another special number by the Martintown worship team, and these songs were chosen by Patty and their favorites of Tom's.
Savior lives, because He lives, I can
lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby the pride and joy He gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because Christ lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
At this time, I am going to read the obituary of Thomas Francis Knauts, age 64, went home to be with the Lord September 2, 2017. Tom lost his 8-month battle with stage 4 melanoma cancer. He was born December 27, 1952, in Dubuque, Iowa, to Milo and Margaret Dorsey Knauts. Tom spent his early years in Galena, Illinois. When Tom was in middle school, his family moved to Orange, Texas for 2 years, then returned to Sholesburg, Wisconsin, where Tom graduated from high school in 1972. Tom also started working at the Kelly Springfield tire plant that same year and continued to work there until he was forced to retire after a stroke in 2010. In the years he worked at Kelly, Goodyear, Titan, Tom did most of the jobs on the floor, was a labor trainer, and in the latter years was the employee involvement coordinator. Tom was also very active in the union, serving as union steward, a member of the board, was on the grievance and negotiating committee, and the employee assistance committee. Tom married Diane Herbst in 1973 and was later divorced in 1985. He has 3 sons, Ryan, Corey, and Aaron Knauts, from that marriage. Tom met Patty Haas Meyer and her son, Jeremy Meyer, in late December of 1985. Tom and Patty were married in July of 1986, and they were blessed with a son, John, in 1987. In 2002, Tom decided to purchase the Warren H&R Block Tax Office and also purchased the Stockton and Savannah Block Offices in 2006. Tom managed these offices with the assistance of his wife Patty, son John, and daughter-in-law Tasha Meyer, making it a truly family business. He was also blessed with a wonderful staff in all three locations. Tom played ball. If you wanted to know where Tom was in the summer, check the ballparks. He played on many teams in many towns, and he even went to Macon, Georgia to the Grand Nationals Tournament 2 years in a row. In the latter years, he played more golf than softball. Tom was also a talented horse trainer. He raised and trained Tennessee walking horses for over 20 years. Tom loved to dance to country music with Patty, and he enjoyed hunting and fishing with his friends. Tom believed in public service. In addition to serving his Union brothers and sisters, he also coached Little League baseball, gave horse lessons at no charge, served on the Cadiz Town Board, and became a volunteer fireman on the Browntown Cadiz Jordan Fire Department. Tom is survived by his wife, Patty, his son, Jeremy Meyer, daughter-in-law, Tasha Meyer, his sons, John Knauts, Ryan Knauts, Corey Knauts, and Aaron Knauts, his grandchildren, Logan Meyer and Sawyer Meyer, and Jacqueline Meyer and Charlotte Meyer. He is also survived by his brother, Robert, and wife, Christine Knauts, his sister Pam and husband Tom Liebold, Linda and Elton Fryer, plus many aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, and nephews. Tom was preceded in death by his parents, his grandparents, aunts, uncles, and a grandson. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that you make a donation to the Martintown Community Church Building Fund. At this time, we're going to ask son John Knauts to come, and he's going to sing a special number, say a few words also.
I want to start by thanking everybody for the tremendous outpouring of love and support that you all have shown me and my family. Together, we gather to remember the life of my father, Tom Knauts. We remember the good times for me, like when he taught me how to play chess, or when he was right there with me as I did my first and probably last brake job on my vehicle in high school, or how he was always there with solid advice when I was struggling through hard times. Dad knew a thing or two about hard times. Whether it was struggle with addiction or dealing with the restless leg syndrome that kept him from sleeping much for years. When things would get especially tough, he used to tell me that someday, when the current crisis is past, you'll find that you can use what you learned from that experience to help someone else. And that's probably the thing that impressed me the most. No matter how full his plate was or what he was going through, he was always looking for ways he could help people who really needed it. A fact I'm sure many of you have witnessed firsthand. Some things I learned by doing with him, like building fence or golf. Some lessons I learned through conversations, like how to treat people and how I should be treated. However, I learned the most simply by watching how he lived his life. Everything from sponsoring someone who was dealing with addiction to how he ran his businesses and treated his employees. He was far from perfect. He made many mistakes throughout his life, some of which I know he regretted. But in my eyes, he was freaking Superman. The unfortunate fact is that even Superman is mortal. My first reaction is to brood out on all the things that he will miss, such as watching the grandkids grow up and forge their own ways in the world. That kind of thinking only leads to despair, as the number of things that will be missed is infinite. Instead, I choose to think about how happy he was in his final years. I think about the time he spent fishing with Uncle Bird and Mr. Coppice. I think about the time he spent with the grandkids playing ball and all the sleepovers. And I think about his trip to Texas earlier in the year that he talked about for weeks after he got back. I also think about how he had all the WWF he could ever have asked for. I used to stop out in the middle of the night because I work third shift, and with his legs, he really didn't sleep much. I built for him a projector room in the basement. So I'd stop out 2 a.m., and he'd have the main event up on the wall, and he'd have his iPad, and he'd have women's wrestling down here, and he'd be asleep on the floor. Most importantly, I think about how there's no doubt in my mind that he is with God now. I didn't know my dad before he got clean, but I've heard a few stories, and the only way that such a huge difference is possible is with the help of Christ, and that gives me comfort. I got sent home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules and it didn't matter why. When Dad got home, I told that story just like I'd rehearsed. Then stood there on those trembling knees, waited for the worst. He said, "Let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us." He said, "Daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen." I became a father in the spring of 81. There was no doubt that stubborn boy was just like my father's son. When I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my daddy's secret and I passed it on to him. Yes, Ed, let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us. I said, "Daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen." Last night I dreamed I died and stood outside those pearly gates. Suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If they know half the things I've done, they'll never let me in. And somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. They said, "Let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us. You see, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen."
Think about is what your dad would say.
Same thing with John. Thanks for coming today to show your support to our family and Tom's celebration of life. It means a lot to all of us. And I'm blown away with how many people are here today. But he wanted all of his family and friends to get together and celebrate a life that was well lived. For everyone to get together and laugh and joke and tell stories of the good old days. So I'm going to share a few stories of my own and then get sappy at the end too. My mom met Tom in late 1985. They hung out on and off for a few months, and after about 10 days of official dating, Tom decided to ask my mom to marry him while him and his softball buddies were shooting darts at Rideout Corners down by Freeport. Mom's reply was, sure, why not? So he was going to get up on a banister and announce that they were going to get married, and Mom grabbed him and told him to sit down. Tom was always one to open doors and hold them for Mom, but when they got back from Rideout Corners that night, Tom barged right through the apartment door and ran over to the calendar, went to July 5th, and wrote, "This is it." Mom says, "What's it?" Tom replied, "The day we're getting married." Mom's reply was, "You were serious, weren't you?" So as funny as that is, they made it work for 31 years. Mom and Tom are a great team. For many years of my childhood, Tom was bigger than life. Just the way he presented himself with such self-confidence, you got that he's the guy in charge feeling. Some of my own memories with Tom include WrestleMania 3. And a few weeks after that resulted in me flying off the top ropes, a.k.a. the top of the couch, landing on Tom and knocking him out. I was frantically yelling for Mom because I thought that I had killed him. I did, however, get the 3 call for the pin, so. Tom also took a bike that used to be my cousin John's. He took it all apart, stripped it down, spray painted it, and converted it into a BMX bike. I have a couple pictures of that bike, and I still have the bike, actually, too. John, you're not getting it back, wherever you're at. 1 year for Christmas, I got a football. And one day in the early spring, with some snow still on the ground, Tom and I went out to play catch. Tom kept telling me to stay clear of the spot where we cut our Christmas tree down. While he didn't take his own advice, ended up slipping on that and broke his ankle. He had me call 911 and my grandpa Haas, who lived just up the road. Grandpa got there before the first responders, backed up his truck to where Tom was laying in the mud hole, got out of his truck, dropped his tailgate, handed Tom a cigarette, lit a cigarette for himself, and he said, "I don't know why you called me. I don't have a crane to lift your ass up." And then I guess it gets better. So one of my first experiences with first responders is when they showed up, and one of the girls wanted to take Tom's sweatpants off to get access to his leg. Tom said, "Just cut them off." The first responder replied, "Well, these are pretty new. I don't want to ruin them." And as she's trying to pull them down, Tom says, "I'm not wearing any underwear." The first responder's eyes got pretty big, and she says, "Who's got the scissors?" My favorite thing that we did together was play PG ball. It was a two-person baseball game that Tom told me he played as a kid. We used a wiffle ball bat and a practice golf ball, and I still believe that my hand-eye coordination was so good when I played baseball because of the countless hours that I spent with Tom playing that game. But I wish the way Tom never let me win, and I had to earn it. If Tom was anything, he was a great leader. So many of this room looked up to Tom for his leadership qualities. Whether on a baseball diamond, at work, or in the community, he enjoyed that role, and it was so natural for him. From the time that Tom sobered up, he spent the last 29 years doing what he could to help everyone in any way that he could possible. For being a sponsor to other addicts, helping friends with life issues, remodeling your house, a township board member, or in the last few years, joining the Browntown Fire Department, or even just an ear to talk to. The one thing that I'm most grateful of is that I've had the opportunity to play softball together with Tom. We got to play on the same team for church league when I was in high school, and even as an adult about 5 or 6 years ago, when Tom came out of retirement to play together with Tom's brother Bob and nephew Brent. We even got to hit up a few tournaments. Seeing Tom on fire calls when the South Wayne and Browntown were working together on mutual aid gave me a big sense of pride as well. Not many times as a child you get to look at your parent and get that sense of pride, like they do when you did something amazing when you were a child. I've always thought of Tom as a dad. I never called Tom dad, but to me, saying Tom was saying dad. I wrote to him in a Father's Day card some years ago that they should change the meaning of Tom to father and someone who cares for you as his own, and thanked him for showing me how to be a man, a father, and a husband to my wife. Nothing's more important to Tom than family. He would do anything for any of us. With as many people as there are here today, whether you're family or close friends, I'm sure that Tom's affected your life in one way or another. It may have been for a short time or even years of companionship. However long, he appreciated his relationships with all of you. About 3 months ago, Tom and I were having a heart-to-heart and getting some things off of our minds. And one of the things that he told me is, even if something happens to me, I have no regrets. He said that he did so much and he didn't feel like his life was incomplete. As we reflect on Tom's life today, is there something that you have left unfinished, a regret, lost friendship, or an accomplishment that you'd like to achieve? The dash between our birth dates and our death dates is our lives. How short it is. Live your life to the fullest with no regrets. It's the one thing that you can do to honor Tom's memory. You can't add more days to your life, but you can add more life to your days. Thank you.
We're going to take a couple minutes if anyone in the audience wants to share a memory you have of Tom. Now is your opportunity to do that. I'm sure there's many. You want to come up here, Bob? I'll just put this right over here for you.
Thank you. My name is Robert Knauts, Bob Knauts, and also Nutty Knauts. Thanks to my big brother Tom. I'm not sure how he actually really got the nickname Nutty, but I've been told that I used to play cards with a bunch of fellas in high school, and he would just pass gas, and they called him Nut Bomber. So I'm not sure how true it is, but anyway, but thanks to Tom, that name was passed down from him to my sisters through school, to myself, to my sons that went through Shelbyville High School. They actually have teachers and coaches that call them Nutty instead of by their first names, thanks to Tom. Tom started a tradition when I was a senior in high school for football. Him and his three sons from his first marriage came up to the house on homecoming, and he had all these shirts made up. It was 75, nothing on the back. His three boys, all I could announce jerseys out at 75. And I just continued on when my boys got into high school. Even when they're younger boys, he'd come to all their events, baseball, whatever it was. But every homecoming for my three sons, he had jerseys made up. And that's why we're all honoring Tom today by wearing our jerseys. It's just so how unselfish he was as a person. I'm just gonna miss that big fella. Thank you.
Praise to God, the head of our life and honor. I'm hoping I can make it through this. I've been a friend of Tom's about 15 years. I met him through Bill and Deb, had the opportunity to know the young ones. We rode horses together. He always based this every time I walked in his home, brother from another mother. And let me explain that. We have two different things. I'm black and he's white, but you know, God doesn't see color. He see the heart of a man. And Brother Tom had a heart for people. Every time I come to his house, he opened the doors. He invited us in. We prayed together. We talked. But the most of all things that he left me with this wisdom, he gave me something that I can share with all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And he would direct your pathway. But Tom was a cowboy to me. We rode over 15 years together. Had some rough horses out there. And if you know, Patty would know, we'd still ride together. And Patty, we would continue to ride together to be with the Lord, with Tom also. Thank you.
I guess I would say that once or twice in a person's life, somebody like Tom Kanouts enters and makes a huge impact. Some of the things that I have to say today you've already heard, so I'll be as brief as I can. But when Tom and Patty first came to church here, I think it was about 1994, perhaps, and it was their first Sunday, and we went through all the Sunday morning things, and during the closing hymn, I went to the back, and I was standing back there, and everybody was standing up and singing. Tom came marching back down that aisle. He came over there and stood in front of me, and he said, "What do we have to do to become members of this church?" And before I could answer, he said, "This is our church." He goes, "I just made that decision." He goes, "I'm the man of our household, and I can make that decision." And he's been here ever since. And not only that, but since I've known Tom, I've known Patty for all the way back to junior high. Since we came to know Tom, I remember them telling me the story how Patty was having some difficulties at work, and she would come home and tell Tom, and Tom had finally had enough of hearing Patty talk about the injustices at work, and so he walked into Advanced Transformer, and he told them who he was, and he said, "I'm here to straighten this out. I'm sick and tired of you mistreating my wife." And they showed him the door and gave him a issued him a statement that said, "You're never to enter these premises again." Tom loved his wife. Tom was our softball coach for our church league team for a number of years, and I can't remember, but did we go undefeated?
Yes, we did.
We did. First place undefeated.
I was the coach, he was the pitcher. Oh.
Patty was the coach. Tom was the pitcher. I should say that Tom's love for his children and his grandchildren was so obvious, and everyone who knows Tom could see that. When he was in the hospital there the last couple weeks, I think it was probably about 2.5 weeks before he passed away, he was determined to get out on a Wednesday afternoon to watch Logan and Sawyer play in their Little League playoff game. And then he got to stay home, and that Friday they had family pictures. And those were two things that Patty wanted, but Tom wanted more than anything in the world. But if you had been up there at the hospital on Monday or Tuesday and seen the condition that Tom was in, you would have thought there's no way he's going to come home and watch his grandsons play baseball and be there for a picture. And I remember when the girls had their one-year-old birthday party, Tom had to miss that. But he was telling the nurse about his twin granddaughters and about how it was their birthday. 1 year, and how much he loved them. A few years ago, after Tom had his stroke and he tried to go back to work, and he couldn't. He actually went back twice, and the first time they told him to go home and recover some more, and second time they told him, "You probably better just hang it up. It doesn't look like you're going to be able to come back." So then Tom applied for Social Security disability, and he got turned down, which is kind of the normal procedure, and he got this attorney that he got off of the TV, right?
From a referral,
but the attorney was on TV from Ohio. And Patty called me up and she said, "February 28th, Tom needs a ride to Madison." I said, "Okay, what's the occasion?" She said, "He has a hearing for the judge for Social Security disability." So Tom and I drove Tom up to Madison. We stopped for breakfast, and we went into the office, and he met his attorney, went before the judge, and presented his case. And I could see Tom and his attorney whispering, and then they turn around and look at me, and they whisper and turn around and look at me, and the judge never asked me for a testimony or anything. But then on the way home, Tom said, "Thank you for making me look like a genius in front of the judge." And I said, "What did I do?" And he said, "Well, the judge said this is the first time ever someone brought their pastor with them for a hearing." So we knew Tom was telling the truth. But I want to tell you, perhaps most importantly, in fact, I know it's most important, shortly after Tom and Patty were attending church here, and you had to see the transformation taking place in Tom's life. Once Tom committed his life to Jesus Christ, God began to do a work in him that can only be credited to God. Because I mostly saw Tom when he was on his best behavior, and that was at church, or when I made a pastoral call. And I want to tell you, even on Tom's best behavior, he was a little rough around the edges. And I can't imagine what he was like before the Lord got a hold of him. But one Sunday after church, Tom came up to me in his usual fashion. He said, "What does a guy have to do to be baptized here?" And I said, "Well, it's fall, it's kind of late, we can't really go to the park or to the lake or wherever sometimes we go." I said, "But I could check into, we could have a church that has a baptismal," because Tom said he wanted to be immersed, or as my 3-year-old daughter at that time said when he came in the door, Patty tells the story well.
Katie came running up the aisle and she runs up to Tom and she goes, "We're going to put you in the cow tank."
I don't know where she would have picked that up from.
Because it was a cow tank that you got from the feast place. Yeah. The city decorated with drapes and flowers.
So we went to the feed mill, and Warren and Tommy Ballback said, "Yeah, you can use a cow tank." So we got a 300-gallon cow tank, and Cindy, my wife, decorated it up, made it look nice, and we filled it up with water the night before so it would at least be up to room temperature. And in the meantime, Tom invited all of his friends from Kelly Springfield. And I'm sure that some of you remember that day. It was Thanksgiving Eve, 1994. And the church was just as full on that day as it is today. And so Tom got into the tank, and he's standing there up to about his waist in water, and he says, I want to talk. So I handed him a mic. So Tom's standing in the water holding a microphone. And he sang a song. And then he shared his testimony. And then when it was time to baptize him, I got a hold of him. I put my hand behind one here, and I was just ready to. He says, wait a minute. He said, and he pulled out of his pocket a pack of Marlboro Lights. And he said, "I don't want these to get wet." So probably the first and only time a pack of smokes has sat on this pulpit was when Tom Knauss was in the water. But we laugh about that. But Tom wanted that because Tom wanted people to know that he was changed from the inside out. And today it's been mentioned that we'll see Tom again. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man to die once, and after this the judgment. And when we think about life and death and judgment, that's a fearful thought. The Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes that God has set eternity in the heart of man. And so what that tells us is that every single person in this room and everywhere knows that there's more to life than just what you experience now. We know deep within us that someday, somewhere, we're going to give an account for the life in which we've lived. And you know, Tom acknowledged that reality and he embraced it. And he wanted more than anything else in this life to live a life worthy of being called a child of God. And after Tom committed his life to the Lord Jesus, and with God's newfound presence within him, as John mentioned, he was able to overcome many of the struggles and the pitfalls that had befallen him in his early years. He was able to overcome an alcohol addiction. He was able to forgive those who had wronged him. And Tom was able to forgive himself for wronging others. And Tom sought to reconcile with those whom he had burned bridges with in the past. And those were not just passing inclinations that Tom had. Forgiveness and striving to live a life pleasing to God and loving his wife and helping others, always moving forward, those all became Tom's focus in life. And he went out of his way for the benefit of anyone in need. And it didn't matter who it was or what it involved. If Tom could help, he helped in whatever way that he could. But Tom was not perfect, as they say, by any means. He still struggled with his old nature. But the difference was that those things no longer controlled him. And instead, he showed what the Bible calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit in his life. He had love and joy and peace and even patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All of those were apparent in Tom's life to some degree. Now, granted, some more than others, but they were all there just the same. In every area of Tom's life, he gave it everything he had, and his Christian life was no exception. God gave Tom just 64 years on this earth. The Bible tells us that God has ordained our days for us. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, it says, "The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength, and they quickly pass, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days aright, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. By God's grace and by God's mercy, Tom was able to enjoy his days right up to the very end. And God rewarded his days and established the work of his hands. But before us here today, as we give testimony of Tom's life, we know that Tom's soul has gone on into eternity. And so the question is, what comes next? What about life after death? Well, Jesus gives us a glimpse of life after death. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told the story of two men who had died, and one of them went to hell, he says, and he describes what hell is like, and he talks about torment and pain and anguish and suffering. In fact, the man begged that someone could come over and put a drop of water on the tip of his tongue. He was so thirsty. And some people say, well, I don't believe in hell. But yet, Jesus actually talked more about hell and God's judgment than he did about heaven. But in this same parable in Luke 16, Jesus speaks of the other man, and he says that when he died, the angels came and carried him to paradise. So you have two very contrasting scenes. And if you can imagine with me on the night of September 2nd, it's a Saturday, it's 8:53 p.m. to be exact, and Tom is lying there on that hospice bed in his living room. And God says to a couple of his angels standing by, it's time to bring Tom Knauts home. He's tired, and his old earthly body is worn out. It's time for us to welcome him into heaven. And so those angels, they hurry out of God's presence, and they hustle down to Linscombe Road, and they say to Tom, like the angel said to Peter in Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison sleeping, and people were praying for him, for his release. And it says in Acts 12 that the angel struck Peter on the side and said, wake up, get your clothes on, put on your shoes, and follow me. And Peter did so. Now, we know that Tom was not a deep sleeper, and I'm sure the angel didn't have to strike him on the side, but he would say, Tom, wake up and follow me. And then Tom would have no choice but to do so. And so God's angels ushered him right up to the gates of heaven. In Psalm 116, verse 15, it says, when they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And so Tom didn't have to go through any dark tunnels or bright lights, no scary passageways. But what Tom did, according to what we know from the scriptures, was the angels ushered him to the very gates of heaven, and there stood God and welcomed him into heaven that night. And we know this because we have the record of it in the Bible. And we know that Tom has been reunited with his loved ones who have gone on before him. He might be catching up with his grandson, Connor. He might be eating popcorn with his mother-in-law. He could be singing praises before the throne, probably on key this time. He might be dancing on the street of gold. My wife reminded me this morning that it was 1 year ago today over at the Warren Pumpkin Festival that Tom and Patty were dancing out on Main Street. And Tom could dance. The Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor can the mind comprehend what God has in store for those who love him. And Tom is already there. And so then the question is, how does one get to heaven? Well, the Bible tells us, first of all, that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what it's saying is we're not good enough to get there. We need a Savior. And then the Bible tells us that God sent his Son, who died on the cross for our sin. And Jesus was the only one qualified to die for the sin of another person because he never sinned. The Bible tells us that he became sin on our behalf as he hung on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus says in Matthew 28, come unto me, all you who are weak and tired, and I will give you rest. In Jeremiah 29:13, God says, when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And what that's telling us is that you can find God today. Tom found God. And the whole story of Tom's life in the last 29 years was the transforming power of God in the life of Tom Knauts. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you've never really given your heart to him, this would be a great time to do so. And you can do it right in your heart. You don't have to do anything religious. You just have to open up your heart and say, Lord, I need you. I trust you. And I trust your work on the cross to save me. And I want to confess my sin and make you Lord of my life. That's what Tom did. And as Jeremy said, he had no regrets. Tom Knauts, a man of God, now standing in the presence of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the life of Tom Knauts and for the story of Tom Knauts, for the memories, for the impact, for the love, and for the difference that he's made upon so many people. Now, Lord, I pray that his death will not be in vain, but that others today will come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have one more song, On Eagle's Wings, and then a short benediction.
His hand.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you will go before us now. Prepare the way. May we follow the advice from Proverbs chapter 3 to trust in you with all of our hearts, in all of our ways, acknowledge you and lean not on our own understanding, and you will make our paths straight. Father, again, we thank you for Tom. Thank you for their marriage, him and Patty, and the love that they had for each other and their family. And Lord, I pray that Tom's legacy will live on now in those whom he loved. And I pray, Lord, that the kingdom of God will grow because of Tom Knauts. Now I pray that your peace will be with us. And we know that you will bless us as we walk close to you. I pray that you'll bless the food that we're about to eat and bless our fellowship time together. And be with this family, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, Richard's going to come and escort the family out. And then Patty would like to greet you either right away or maybe a little later, but don't leave without greeting her. But after you talk to Patty, you can go right over and start eating. You don't have to wait. Thank you.